subscribe to Kentucky Crazies on iTunes. Find us on Facebook and at Kentucky Crazies on Twitter. You can call the Blue Phone at 859-780-CATS. That's 859-780-2287.
From the friendly confines of the KentuckyCrazies.com studios, located in the heart of the Big Blue Planet.
Listen up.
It's time to talk all things Kentucky Crazy.
Listen up.
Your hosts, listen Mike up. Hicks and Aaron Newton. People are crazy.
All right, Kentucky Crazies, we're going to do podcast number 43 tonight. And oh, little brother, unless you've been living in a hole somewhere, the big news, of course, Pitino and Jurich are out. And we're also going to touch a little bit on the Kentucky-Florida game from last weekend at the end of the show. We'll be right back.
KentuckyCrazies.com. Call the Blue Phone at 859-780-CATS. That's 859-780-2287. Ask a question, leave a comment, or tell us how crazy you are about Kentucky. Leave us a cat call on the Blue Phone. We will put you on a future podcast.
KentuckyCrazies.com. Call right now.
Oh, little brother.
Well, finally happened. We have to remain silent here just for a moment. This is, of course, Mike Hicks with the voice not built for radio. And to my left, we have at KY Crazy Aaron, Crazy Aaron Newton.
It's going to be a tough show to make it through tonight.
Isn't it, though?
Yeah.
Sometimes you just don't expect it. And, of course, you can call us on the Blue Phone anytime to talk about whatever you need to, 859-780-2287.
We can be like Frazier. You know, we'll dole out some advice to comfort you in these hard times.
Because we understand that everybody's going through the hard times right now, especially in DeVille. We want to give our condolences to everybody in DeVille.
You know, in all seriousness, we do have several friends.
Why am I laughing?
We do have several friends that are fans of Louisville for some reason. And surprisingly, we have friends that, Louisville fans. But
well, we always hope that they can see the light.
And the door is open now for them.
Yes, now the time has come where you can, the prodigal sons can come home to the Big Blue Nation. Tim, Chris, we know you're out there listening.
Probably not.
they're probably crying in a beer somewhere, you know?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I'm sure everybody knows by now. If you don't, then you're listening to the wrong show.
Yeah.
Oh, little brother, the scandal fatigue. That's what I have right now. I have scandal fatigue as much as every time I like to hear, here comes another scandal from Louisville. I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, and it's... You're right. You know, it finally caught up with them. And then, like you had said before we went on air, that it's about the money. You know, everything else that has happened with him, it's finally the money is what got him.
We don't have to go through the list. Everybody knows what it is. All that stuff seemed to be okay. But now when somebody else is getting money, then, you got to stop it.
Well, basically, they've been playing Russian roulette, and they finally landed on the bullet.
Well, all right, so... Yesterday, we're recording this on Wednesday the 27th, and my hours are kind of running all together, but the news broke early yesterday morning, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, how did you first hear about it?
I was just at work, actually, and I was on my lunch break, and I just grabbed my phone, and it was, like, lit up. You know, I was got texts from my dad and just all the Twitter news, and I was like, oh, my gosh, I gotta have to see what's going on, because I literally had no clue.
It was... A sign of the times in this sense, literally every minute or two or 10, something new was coming down the pipe. And because we're all connected with the Twitterverse and all that, mm-hmm. It's been a really bizarre ride, and I'm sure it has been for everybody. But just as a observer invested in it, you know, it's been amazing to kind of go through. I was having a Twitter conversation with Jerry from 247.
Meyer?
Yeah. And we were having a little back and forth about it, and I said I had scandal fatigue, and I said I feel like I haven't slept for 36 hours. And he had something. He said, I had brought up the fact that I thought, you know, he should already been gone back with the Cypher situation. And he put, shoes greater than hoes. And I was like, now, which one are you talking about? The we got giddy is what I'm getting at. Yeah. Like, we're all been living through this for a while. But, you know, the serious nature of it is $100,000 went to a recruit. And the bigger picture is there's going to be people going to jail, and not necessarily out of the Louisville camp. And
this is several schools, and it's Adidas. So far, there's been three or four from the Adidas group or company or whatever you want to call them that have been indicted. You know, like I said, you know, everybody knows this is federal. So it was, you know, like the few from there. We know Chuck Person at Auburn, the assistant coach at Auburn. He's caught. So Bruce Pearl will never coach again. I can't remember the other assistant coaches' names, but, you know, Arizona, USC, Oklahoma State.
We've been
Oklahoma
so focused
State.
On the Louisville story because it's so close to what we do. But you're right. You know, Chuck Persons, they said that if he's convicted of all of his, you know, what they're charging him with, it's 80 years in prison.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is heavy-duty stuff. And the one thing that's got to be clear on this, because I've talked to a lot of people about this in the last however many hours it is, but people don't understand. This is, again, a federal situation where they were able to wiretap. They were able to get video cameras in there and do all the surveillance type stuff where the NCAA can't do that kind of stuff. So to me, a big part of this story that hasn't really been discussed much or at all is that the NCAA is learning it as we are learning it. And so for Louisville, the NCAA is not going to like that they were cheating on top of cheating.
Yeah, are already on probation, and then just, you know, like a slap in the face to the NCAA, you know. And we've always known Louisville, you know, with Jurek and Pitino have felt this way, that they were above the law, because basically they've been proven that they were for so long, up until finally that's not law NCAA rules, I guess, but the Katina Powell situation, you know, that should have been some legal issues there, and nothing's come above it. So,
yeah, they have like that entire, you know, I mean, dare I say, mafia there, you know. I mean, I know that's a little hyperbole, but this stuff is not even close to being unraveled. And
no, this is in the very, well, I guess it's been going on for, the feds have been investigating for a little while.
Correct.
But as far as the information that we're now getting, it's very, very new. And literally by the minute, new information is popping up.
It is. And like I said, this is all like Louisville coming out today and in essence firing Pitino and Jurek. They're going to have to go through the contract stuff that was a sweetheart contract deal with the president. That is also found to be a criminal, right, basically. And so they're all, it's all unraveling. But the fact that the NCAA is just now putting their eyeballs on this, there's going to be hammers.
And I find it very curious as to why, because no in particular person at Louisville has been mentioned at all. You know, at these other schools, you've heard assistant coaches here and there. But nobody in particular at Louisville has been mentioned, but yet Louisville is the only ones that have taken these steps, firing the AD, firing the head coach. You know, I think Person was fired, you know, at Auburn, but the others were just kind of put on leave, I guess you'd say. Not that they won't fire them, but Louisville is the only ones taking these huge steps. So that's telling me that there is a lot more there than what we're hearing as of now.
I agree with that. And I do think this interim president has just, he's got to be blood boiling, because they're supposed to be on the up and up right now. And again, I keep going back to what the NCAA is going to do to them, because that's what they're trying to, you know, make sweet and nice at this point. You got to do everything sweet and nice. And then you did what? After it was like 32 days or so, after the hammer came from the NCAA about the power, they were in the what they call it, the phase where they were going to come back to tell the NCAA this is why we shouldn't be punished.
They're in their appeals.
Yeah, the appeals process. So during the appeals process is when they decided, hey, what a great idea. Let's give $100,000 through a shoe company and funnel it to a player.
Yeah.
So that the president today, you cannot – I gave him a ton of credit because, you know, coming in, you're out. I mean, you're done. And that's exactly what happened. And go ahead. I just
like to dig into some of the issues of why we think this happened. You know, you see the Dick Vitales and even Rex Chapman, the first things they want to blame is the AAU circuit, and, you know, and the shoe companies that are. And I have no doubt that is a corrupt system, that things are like this happened, but that doesn't take blame away from the assistant coaches or the schools or the head coaches or whoever, because they have the very easy right to say no.
Players have been paid for 100 years. Not every one of them. But what I'm getting at is people got in trouble when they paid players 100 years ago before there was AAU. Okay? Before there was one and done. 50 years ago. We're guilty as charged. Okay? So that's not an excuse. Like you said, it's still right or it's still wrong. So if you point at the AAU or the one and done, then you're deflecting. And that's, I would go back to the buddy system. If it's a coach that they like, it's somebody else's fault. And you have got to reach a point where, again, the president did the right thing today by saying, you guys are out. We're done with this. No more deflecting. But classic Pitino form. He's already released a statement where he's got $44 million or $50 million left in his contract, and they're going through this process right now where they're going to try to get out of that to pay. But he came out in his statement, instead of it being about the university at any point, he's going to fight them for that money, and that's going to drag them even further into the mud as the season goes on. Because it's going to be storyline, storyline, storyline.
Oh, yeah.
He should just resign. All the money he's gotten from them all this time is enough money, but he wants more, and it's gonna hurt the university even more.
He doesn't care about
he
that.
He doesn't care about that.
Yeah, it's all about him. You know, and another point that I'd like to make is as to why I think this is happening, in particular at Louisville. That's who we're focusing on here tonight. But you know, Cal arrives at Kentucky, and he's recruiting guru, you know, as we all know, and Louisville and these other schools are falling behind. You know, you can throw Arizona in there. Arizona was, you know, they weren't getting some of the top recruits and losing out to us. So these schools are going to find their little ways to, you know, try to get these recruits. You know, the one that Louisville had supposedly given the $100,000 to was a 5-star recruit. I don't remember his ranking, 15, 16, somewhere around there.
He was 14th, I
believe.
Yeah,
not high enough for us. But, you know, you look at, you know, Cal at Kentucky. Louisville's in the ACC now, so you've got Duke that he has to compete with, recruiting with against Coach K. So, there's another instance. They've got to do something to get that extra little boost. And they weren't getting it done. The right way, they weren't getting it done.
Yeah, and it's amazing how they went from handfuls of hundreds of dollars with Katina Powell prostitution situation, and all of a sudden there's $100,000 there for this player. So it's almost kind of like, well, it's time that we up our ante to try to get those kind of players. And like I said, it's still wrong, Dick Vitale. You know, I will give him credit for this. I listened to a little bit of an interview today, and you have to be honest about it. Most of everything, anyway, he said in the interview today that he called Rick last night and told him to resign today. I give him a ton of credit for that.
He actually said that out loud?
Yes, he actually said that out loud.
But he's not bashing Rick on Twitter and Facebooks and wherever like he did Larry Brown at SMU, though, right?
That's correct. Yeah. But, you know, he did know that this is the end of the road, and Rick's not going to bow out gracefully. He's going to fight like he does, you know, when he's on the court. If he's on your side, that's what you like. But this is way beyond basketball. This is life, and this is – he's already damaged enough under his watch. and you could debate till the cows come home of what he didn't know, what he knew, etc. But you know, the cry wolf situation, it's over. It's everybody around him knows that it's over. The bubble has busted, and there he is, kind of by himself, and he's going to fight as the ship goes down. You know?
I just hope he's got enough money left over to continue his spray tans.
Yeah.
I hate to see what he looks like, you know, without that.
That's something. Well, Halloween is coming up, so yeah. That might be something that, and, you know, one of the, like we were talking about earlier, every second or two, there seems like there's news breaking. Just today, they already lost two commits for the next year, 2018.
Yeah, they have no commitments right now for 2018 class.
Yeah, and they actually were in the top five. At one point, they're number one. It's still early for recruiting for next year, mm-hmm. as far as rankings, but they are
up
there.
Which isn't good for them.
Which is not good for them. but they lost a number 14 player and a number like 26 or so. Five-star point guard and five-star forward.
Yeah.
And they've already both decommitted. And you can't blame them because, again, I go back to the fact that the NCAA has not even done anything yet. They're cleaning house right now. You know, they're cleaning house. You got to give them credit for that. But even if you brought in, you know, Phil Jackson. It doesn't matter who you bring in. They're still going to be on some type of extent. They might get a death penalty.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, let's talk about that. Who can they possibly get in there to take over this mess? I can't imagine. You know, Tom Crean is the big name right now being thrown out everywhere. And as crazy as he is, I can't imagine him even taking that job. Why would anybody want to step into that debacle right now when you – not knowing what's even going to happen. Like you said, they may not even have a team.
There's too many unknowns, and you might be there. I mean, this is not outlandish to say. You might be there 3 years before you could field a team for for a tournament, or even a team for a couple years, period.
Yeah. You know what they need? They need a young and fresh Rick Pitino to come in there.
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought that up. I was going to bring up the Pitino legacy. You know, think about, we already know the background here, but it's beyond, it's like a Hollywood script that you could not sell to any Hollywood maker. Coming to Kentucky, we're on probation, we're the talk of the sports world, we're the dirtiest of the dirty. He comes in, he resurrected us. Now, it's debatable what other coaches could have done because we're Kentucky, but he got us back quick, and we lived through that, and it was a fun ride. And now he ends his career getting them in could be worse trouble, because if there is ever an example for a death penalty, this is it.
Oh, yeah. I don't think it'll happen, honestly, because I don't think the NCAA.
Well, it'll never happen then.
No, I don't think the NCAA has the backbone to do that. But, yeah, if it's going to happen, it should happen there, and it probably should have happened in North Carolina with 2 decades worth of academic fraud.
Well, you know, it's a broken record, but I'll say it again. You had prostitutes in a dorm room for 4 years for underage recruits and their fathers. And while that was being looked into, you give a player $100,000? If that's not the death penalty, there will never be a death penalty.
See, I made the point to someone at work today, and maybe even you earlier today, that Louisville actually has hurt themselves right now by not firing Pitino then. You know, they should have fired Pitino 2-3 years ago, and then they could have got a better coach in there than what they're going to get now. You know, they could have – I'm not saying who. You know, I always thought Bruce Pearl would have been the perfect fit at Louisville, as much as I would have hated to see it. That's not going to happen now, we know. But who are they going to get now? You know, they're going to have to go to some, you know, mid-major team that somebody that's scraping the bottom, some new coach that wants to make a name for himself.
Well, at this point, again, we don't even know who they are or what they're going to be or what players are coming back or what the NCAA is going to do till mid-season. You know, this is as severe of anything that I've ever seen before. And again, all these other programs, your Arizonas and your Miamis and all that are also, and then there's going to be some Nike schools that are going to, this is not done as far as all that goes. But Louisville is a unique situation because they threw their nose up at the NCAA from the nobody yeah. else has.
They're the only school that's currently on probation,
and in a bad way, where their banner is going to come down. You know, in a bad way. So any semblance of a "we're sorry" is done. That's done.
Yeah, and right before you keep talking about news is keeps coming out. Right before we started the show, you know, news came out from Alabama that they had fired or he resigned one. Baker was his name, who used to be, before he came to Alabama, he was an enforcement official with the NCAA. But supposedly, once the feds came out with all this, that Alabama supposedly did an internal investigation, even though now they're saying that no violations were had occurred. But yet this Baker, who is a basketball administrator, as they said, is gone. What happened there?
That's usually a situation where we did do something, but we're telling the NCAA we're sorry, and we got rid of him before you look at us.
Yeah, we did it, but it's not as bad as what Louisville did.
nobody's as bad as that. But, I was going to bring up the – let's see here. I was looking at my notes. Yeah, Pat Forty situation where he, right before we came on the air again, it was like
one of Rick's best friends.
a brand new story from Pat Forty, who's already, you know, yesterday had already put out that they need to be, he actually gave the case for the death penalty yesterday. Now, today he wrote one, and it was something about how Rick's embarrassed himself for forever. Like he'll never regain any kind of.
Thought he had already done that.
Yeah.
why is this now all of a sudden the tips of the iceberg here?
Do they have a mirror? Do they have a mirror at the University of Louisville where they can actually look at themselves and see what the hell is going on? It's we all see it now. I mean, there ain't no hiding, ain't no running. Like I said, I use the analogy of cockroaches they're running now because it's the light's on.
You know, and I heard several times today that, well, you know, that goes on everywhere.
No,
I really don't believe it does. And, you know, Kentucky's name with Cal is always thrown in the mix. You know, we'll just wait till they find something on them. And it may happen, who knows, but I really don't believe it because Kentucky's already under the biggest of microscopes. Being Kentucky with the past, even though it's a distant past now, and then Calipari as our coach, who had whatever you want to say about his, you know, his past situations, even though we really
and they're watching us like a hawk.
Exactly, that's my point. They're watching us like a hawk. But if we cross the road wrong, then they're going to come down on us with something.
You take away our Cal's 500 win basketball.
Yeah.
Okay.
Something like that.
Yeah. Well, and with KSR, take away cardboard cutouts of Steven Johnson's face. Okay.
Yeah.
So we got Sandy Bell. That's why I'm feeling pretty good right now, you know, moving forward. That's why I've always felt
good. Just hope we're never proven wrong.
Yeah.
But, you know, to me, it's
we're not green to our past, but, you know, the biggest scandal we've ever had, it's debatable which one it was, 70 years ago.
Yeah.
Now, you know, the one that happened when Rick got here, that started to become a long, long time ago, too.
Mm-hmm.
And Louisville has been on probation twice since our last probation. Okay.
Yeah.
So don't be preaching anymore. I don't think they are. I think a lot of Louisville fans are tired of it, and I think the strong majority of them are smart enough to.
Yeah, the few I've heard from have actually kind of almost glad that Patino's gone, and I can see it. I really wish he would stay there because it's really been a blast beating him. You know, it's really has been fun. And seeing his demise, and and if he's not there, and whoever else comes in, you know, I've heard seen Ray Harper's name mentioned, which I would root for Louisville. I love Ray Harper. I think he's a great coach. I'm not going to root for him like I do Kentucky or a lot of other schools, but I want Ray Harper to succeed.
I don't if he's at Louisville. That's me though.
Well, I'm not. Well, you know what I mean. I like Ray Harper. I think he's a great coach. If it was Kenny Payne to go there.
That'd be tough. That'd be tough.
Man, I think Kenny Payne's the best coach we have on the bench. Coaching-wise, I'm including Cal into that. I believe Kenny Payne is our best coach on the bench. And we know how he is with the recruiting. It would devastate me personally to see him go just for his reactions on the bench.
Well, let's don't talk it into play here.
Well, the good thing is Kentucky pays him head coaching salary as, you know, as of now. And
all is good in Camelot.
And why would he want to go to Louisville, even though that's his alma mater? But why would he go there into that mess unless they're going to back the Brinks truck up for him?
I want to end this segment here with it, and obviously chime in. For me, like on a personal level, there's a certain validation about what's going on right now. It's not a celebration, but I go back. I remember exactly where I was whenever the news broke that he took the head coaching job at the University of Louisville. At that point, even though he was crumbling at Boston, we still had a place for Patino in our hearts and our minds.
Almost definitely.
And we did not, if he went to UNLV, we would have been UNLV fans. People forget it was the rivalry situation. And that day, when he went, when the announcement was made, I remember exactly where I was when it was made, but I said to the person, I don't want to give too many details, I was working a job, but anyway, I told him, I said, I don't know how or what's going to happen, but when he leaves Louisville, they're going to hate him.
Mm-hmm.
Because Boston hated him, Providence hated him, and we didn't hate him until he went to Louisville.
Until he did that, yeah.
And so immediately in my head, people, we have a way of repeating ourselves. And so I remember saying it that day. This isn't me patting myself on the back because I'm correct now. But there is a long history of him talking bad about Tubby that I personally witnessed at a private function. All the stuff that we went through with the cipher. All validation to me right now because it's all come to the head and it ain't over yet.
No, it's just beginning.
All right, you got anything else? We'll take a break.
Well, I just want to thank them a little while, actually, in the feds, because I was really going to struggle doing the show after the Florida football games.
Yeah.
So he gave us a little motivation.
Well, we're going to take a quick break. You can find us on Twitter at Kentucky Crazies and at KY Crazy Aaron. Call us on the blue phone, 859-780-2287, and we will come back and talk a little bit football, and we'll be right back.
KentuckyCrazies.com. Call the blue phone at 859-780-CATS. That's 859-780-2287. Ask a question, leave a comment, or tell us how crazy you are about Kentucky. Leave us a cat call on the blue phone. We will put you on a future podcast. KentuckyCrazies.com. Call right now.
Okay, I'm going to call this segment The Voodoo Is Real. Because that was what I believe I tweeted you late night, Saturday night, when you were driving back. Or tell us a little bit about the good part. You went with your family to the game.
I did.
We're talking about the Florida game.
Yes, yes, yes. Start off, we got there, and man, that's the way SEC football should be as far as the environment. I know how much we love basketball, and basketball is great, and Rupp Arena is awesome. But I'm telling you, I've never seen an environment like outside the tailgating and everything that was going on before this game. It was just incredible. And you see why the more southern states in our conference, the Ole Miss with their, all the tailgating that they do down here, it was just incredible. You know, we found some friends of my dad's, and they fed us some cherry pie. We had cupcakes and cokes and water. Then the group next to them had a big shrimp bowl, so they dump it out on the table. So man, we're eating shrimp and crab and corn on the cob, and I didn't know them. One of them was from Paris, Kentucky. You know, they were my best friends at the time because I was filling up my bowl, and they kept telling me to eat. We got more and more, just eat. I mean, so just that there was just incredible outside. I've never seen Cromwell/Kroger Field, that great.
At that time, everybody had the winning feeling.
Oh yeah, we knew we were winning,
and winning makes everything much more fun.
We
haven't been able to have that feeling.
And then we get into the stadium, and it's packed. It was sold out, of course, and just it was electric. The student section was full 20-30 minutes before the game kickoff, and I've never seen it like that. I go to one or two games a year, and I've never seen it like that. Just the atmosphere in there, it was electric. And it was an amazing time. And that's what it should be like. It's going to be hard to duplicate that against Eastern Michigan. But we played Tennessees and the Georgias, and we play these big teams at home, not necessarily all this year, but you know what I mean. We play these teams at home. It shouldn't just be a Florida type thing that this happens at.
I think winning is what makes that happen, and that's something that again, we're going into that game undefeated, and it just winning breeds winning.
Yeah.
So
and talk about the game here a little bit. I haven't watched it on TV. I recorded it, but I'm not going to watch it. So a lot of what I saw live is not fresh in my mind now because I didn't actually see it on TV to rehash it all. Steven Johnson played great. He deserved to win that game. Again, we started off. We come out. Offense was firing. They couldn't stop us. There was Florida fans behind us saying, "Man, we can't stop them. We can't stop them." And our defense was playing great. I predicted a low scoring game, which ended up not being really a low scoring game. But the offense for Kentucky was great. Until Grand stopped being aggressive, and he got conservative, and I can't stand that. I was sitting next to my father, and we kept saying, we need to score again. We can't just keep running the Wildcat. We didn't run it a whole lot, but when we ran it, it was awful. Again, it was awful.
We were ahead most of the game.
Well, yeah, we were ahead.
Should have won the game.
Yeah. And I bragged about Austin McGinnis last week. Talked a lot about him. And I haven't watched it on TV, but the field goal he missed at the end of the half that would have put us up, I believe it was a bad snap. When I first saw it happen, it looked like the ball was just skimming the ground and the holder. It was a bad snap. So it just takes that split second to throw the kicker off. And he pushed that one right. He missed the kick, but I think it was a bad snap. The very end, the 50s, I'm not going to expect him to kick a 57-yard
field. Not going to expect that, but whenever it was set up, I remember your prediction was he was going to kick the game-winning field goal, and I was wanting it so bad for everybody, of course. But you got it would have been the most amazing thing ever. But the damage had already we should not have been in that position.
No, the holding call, which the Hayes said it was a bogus call. I haven't seen it. I've seen a lot of
Talk about fans. The timeout situation.
Yeah, but again, Hayes said it was a bad call. I've seen fans say that it was a holding call. Blah blah blah. But like my dad said at the time, because he was angry. He said they can call that any time they want. Every play of the game, they call holding call. But they decide that time when we're at it was about the 20-yard line for a chip shot of a field goal to win the game. They call it then. So we're pushed way back. 6 seconds on the clock. A Florida player is hurt, so play is stopped. Basically a timeout for both teams. We come back out on the field. Stoops calls a timeout. Our last timeout. Not just a timeout, the last timeout with 6 seconds to go. That severely limited our options. With that timeout, we can throw to the middle of the field. You can throw anywhere you want. Basically, we needed probably 15 yards to have a decent shot of the field goal.
You got to be thinking quick in that situation.
He could have thrown to the middle, Conrad in the middle, catch the ball, run it 5 yards, and then drop down, timeout. Time on the clock to kick the field goal.
You got to get a field goal, yeah.
So that I don't know what he was thinking. I would love to call into him and ask him what he was thinking. So after that was done, the only thing that we could do was throw to the sideline. Well, Florida knows that's coming, and silly them, they even let us get a pass off to the sideline. I don't know why they didn't just play up on our receivers. But we did get the pass off to the sideline. It wasn't a very long one, maybe 7 yards, I can't even remember now. But, left up the 57-yard field goal. As soon as it was off his foot, I said, it's short. I could see it. It was just floating. It was short.
The voodoo is real.
It hurts, man.
It hurts.
Because we were so up for that game and up the whole game. The last 6 minutes plus of the game, it was absolute torture because I knew it was coming.
It's amazing how it's almost like groupthink takes over, where it just kind of dictates what's going on the field.
And go back to the twice we left receivers wide open. Nobody guarding them at all. The second time didn't hurt us because they were going to score anyway, and it actually helped us because it left time on the clock, allowing us to march down the field and have the chance. The first one's unacceptable. Out of a timeout, fourth and 1, I think it was. And it was even on our side of the field.
We play Eastern Michigan.
But you know what I'm saying? The receiver, no, I know. I'm the just receiver kinda, I'm by just, himself on our side of the field, and nobody calls a timeout.
Patino and Jersey are fired.
God.
We got Cats have Eastern. Hey, man, I'm feeling the pain. I'm just, I don't want to. It's.
And at least twice we were down in.
It makes
in,
you crazy.
In that 10 yard line, and penalties and sacks push us back out of field goal range.
Eastern Michigan, 4 o'clock Eastern time on the SEC network.
And next year we play them at Florida.
Kentucky versus Eastern Michigan.
32 years.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Hey, do you hear that music?
Yes. And that's not for us. Because no. Our season's not over. That's one loss.
This, when we go out.
We're going to be 5-1 going to Mississippi State.
This is for DeVille. Little brother. We're feeling your pain.
No, not really.
We're laughing. That's what we're doing.
We're laughing with you. Is it? Well, not really that either, are we?
No, we're just. Rick has been fired. Tom Jurich has been fired. They are gone, and Louisville is in the middle of complete meltdown.
And you remember Pat Forty's statement or article he wrote when Cal came here?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Well, funny how that works. Yeah. Karma's a. All right, Cats are going to get the win Saturday against Eastern Michigan and get back on the winning
stretch. And fans need to come out and support this team because they played their hearts out.
Let's get that electricity going again because that's what it's all about. Like
exactly. It's what it's about. And they fed off of it.
Let's get it going. Go, Cats. Till the next time, stay crazy, Kentucky.
Follow us on Twitter at Kentucky Crazies. And find us on Facebook at facebook.com/ Kentucky Crazies. KentuckyCrazies.com. Listen up. You people are crazy. And this is all a part of my story.